All right, Clint, you said it earlier this week. Yes, Nico Collins had 9 targets, but in your mind, you still didn't feel like they did a great job of getting him the ball because he had 3 catches. He did have the touchdown, but still not a lot of volume in this game. Here was Nick Caley as he spoke to the media on the conversation of getting Nico involved and getting him involved early.
Yeah, I think it's never one thing, right? It's the totality of a lot of different things. It could be, you know, is there a pressure that might affect it? Are there different things coverage-wise that might present themselves? So every play is its own entity, and what I can tell you is, just from the standpoint of evaluating and assessing those things, you know, we try to go in with a really good plan. Every single week, we have intentions to try to get our guys in good position to make plays, and that's going to always be the focus. So coming out of the game, you know, I think, you know, people do different things. There's certain things we might be off schedule on a play, and it kind of disrupts maybe the initial reads or stuff like that. But, you know, the intention is to go out there and try to, you know, play clean football. And if, as long as we can continue to improve on that, I'm very confident in the group that we'll be able to do that.
All right, Clint, this is week 3, and he is your number one target. You get Christian Kirk back this week. You would think maybe should alleviate a bit of pressure and coverage on him. Clint, it is hard for me to accept if we get back here on Reaction Monday, Clint, and we sit here and we see Nico Collins with minimal involvement in the game, a 3-catch ball game. It's just hard to accept 3 weeks in a row not being able to get him the ball.
It's unacceptable. I mean, that answer is unacceptable. It's one of those where if when I listen to that audio, the way I listen to the audio for everybody out there listening, like it's titled, right? Like somebody goes in that cuts the film down or cuts the audio down. They'll put, you know, take all the extras out of it and then take that package, that coach's comment up real nice, and then they'll label it with a what the question was. And I had to go back after listening to the audio. I was like, somebody screwed this up. I mean, there's no way that's his answer about Nico Collins getting the football. Like you would not even know that he was talking about Nico unless you literally read the title of the clip. And so, look, I think it's becoming more and more obvious that this is not by design that he's not touching the ball, but it's one of those where they're gonna stick to their guns and whatever the game plan is, they're not gonna vary from it. And because what I'm talking about when somebody asks about Nico Collins getting touches, what I'm talking about, and I've said it a million times before, it doesn't matter what the coverage is. It doesn't matter what the pressure is or isn't that the defense is lining up to bring or not. We're going to throw screens to Nico multiple per game. We're going to throw the little touch pass, almost like a jet sweep type deal where it's a pass to Nico Collins once every couple of weeks. We're going to line Nico Collins up, you know, beside Nick Chubb in the backfield and run some kind of flip play to him or something, some kind of like misdirection flip play to where we can get to the edges. We run the ball so much with Nick Chubb between the tackles. We're going to fake it to Nick Chubb and run that little flip play that everybody – we're going to get Nico Collins on the edge one-on-one, one of the more difficult receivers in the league to tackle. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, the way that he answers that question, one, is you don't even know he's talking about Nico, which is wild, which is – I think it's by design. I don't know why he or they won't just say, hey, man, we got to do a better job of getting Nico the ball. Instead, they make a bunch of excuses why they don't get Nico the ball. And so, yeah, I'm setting myself up to be more disappointed along these lines. I don't see a major shift in how they're using Nico Collins.
Listen, fellas, this is where I'm going to lose my mind if it happens. Can I – you know I'm normally not this guy. But as our guy Ocho, who is a huge listener, will say, can I interest you in a stat? So first off, Nico Collins through the first 2 games, Clint, he's got 6 receptions for 77 yards, 1 touchdown on 14 targets. That's through 2 games. Your number one threat, your number one skill guy, 6 catches, 77 yards, 1 touchdown on 14 targets. The Jacksonville Jaguars played the Cincinnati Bengals last week. Do you know who their number one receiver is? It's Ja'Marr Chase, right? He may be the best receiver in football. Joe Burrow got injured. John Browning played most of that game. Ja'Marr Chase had 14 receptions for 165 yards and one touchdown on 16 targets in the game. The game himself, not over the year. In the game last week against Jacksonville, he had 14 receptions, which is the same amount of targets that Nico has in two games. He had 165 yards and a touchdown on 16 targets. I know that they have another great receiver on the other side, but you're crazy if you don't think that Jacksonville was trying to do everything they could to make sure Ja'Marr Chase didn't get touches, and he still got them. There is no excuses. There is no excuses that they can't figure out a way to get him the ball. If Ja'Marr Chase got the same amount of receptions that Nico has in targets in 2 weeks, it's just unacceptable. We just watched them last week have to play another team's number one receiver, and they couldn't stop him, not just targets, but getting catches. If we come in here, I'm just going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind if Nico Collins is rolling in here with one of these 3 to 4 reception ball games when I just watched this team give up 14 receptions on 16 targets to a number one receiver the previous week.
With a backup quarterback.
You're right. With a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, this is egregious. It's unacceptable. The responses by everybody involved is egregious and unacceptable. It's bad offensive football. If defenses just simply have to roll a safety over the top of a corner on Nico Collins and that takes him completely out of the game, and the offensive coordinator then just says to hell with it, it's a look we're getting or it's a pressure we're getting that's going to take Nico completely out of the game. Guess what defenses are going to do? They're going to keep giving you that look. They're going to keep giving you that pressure because they know now they're dictating, hey, we can take their best player out of the game by just keeping a safety and even looking over at Nico Collins. Look, we can take Nico out of the game if we just heat up the quarterback and don't give him time to go through a progression because Nico Collins is third in the progression. So, yeah, I don't like what we've seen for 2 weeks, and I, even more so, I dislike what we're hearing coming out of NRG with the offensive coordinator and the head coach, for that matter, about getting Nico touches and how they're getting Nico touches. And by the way, the Nico getting touches thing, it should be and it's not even touches, right? It's because, I mean, you can manipulate the numbers. I think the target number last week was a decent number, but if you look at how they did it, I think it was a piss poor effort. You know, that should be a bigger story nationally. If Ja'Marr Chase right now, 2 weeks in, had 6 catches and 77 yards, it'd be the biggest story on a sports show.
I looked at those numbers and I mean, that's ridiculous. He's got as many catches in one game that he has targets. Like, Clint, you've talked about this a lot. They could literally just sit down and watch what the Bengals did with Ja'Marr Chase and do the same things. They could literally do the same things. It would be absolutely unacceptable, as you said, if they walk in here again and somehow Nico Collins is just taken out of the game again. I just can't accept that. I can't accept. And to be honest, Clint, it's an overall, I think, issue. And we're in week 3 of the season, and this is, I think, another thing with Nick Caley is, hey man, regardless of age, regardless of how, you know, how much you trust somebody, you got to get the best dudes on the field and the best dudes the ball, right? Like this, like we've heard about it. Hey, listen, Dare ain't personal. He can't get on the field. All right, Woody Marks has to be on the field. All right, you got to start rolling. Like, luckily to me, you know, not luckily, I feel bad for him, but Watson, you know, has the injury, but he shouldn't be on the field over Higgins. You got to start getting these dudes that have talent on the field and not just playing dudes you trust. All right, these dudes you trust they have a moment. They should be, all right, you know, other things ain't working or guys are hurt, but you just keep rolling out here and like, man, I trust Dare, so I'm going to put him in. I don't care the age. You don't have enough playmakers to be able to make a decision on guys you trust as opposed to having guys that are threats out there. That is something they have to do this week.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to happen by default with Christian Kirk being back, right? I bet you it happens by default with Braxton Berrios being back. So you're going to get a little bit more speed, and you're going to get a little bit more twitch and athletic ability on the field with just those two guys getting healthy, and it's – you know, those guys are going to be on the field. It's not like you're not trying to find a way to get Higgins or Noel touches. I mean, those guys will get on the field. You know what they do well. The plan all along is for them to have been a part of this offense. Now, definitely with Kirk, we'll see what happens with Berrios. But I'm 100% with you, Ron. I mean, the scary thing is you get, you know, at some point we've got to get out of this, hey, man, Nick Caley's never called offensive plays. It's his first go-round. I mean, you get a month into the season and we're let's call it 1-for-3 maybe at that point with getting Nico involved in a game the way you should get Nico involved in a game. We got to start asking questions about is it youth and inexperience, or is this just bullheaded? This is just the way that he believes offensive football should be ran.
Clint, do you give him an A for effort for trying with the 9 targets?
No. I think you look at again. I don't think what Nick Caley says is not true. Like, I think Nick Caley can step to the podium right now and say, hey, look, sometimes when they give us that pressure look, or sometimes when they give us a certain coverage, or sometimes when C.J. Stroud is getting through his progression, there's a pressure that happens. Like, he's not lying when he says that. The problem is that he's not lying when he says that, right? I mean, the reality of it is, hey, man, there's going to be 4 to 5 catches. I mean, 95% or better catches that Nico Collins is getting in every single game. It ain't going to be dictated by coverage. It's not going to be dictated by pressures. He is going to get – he's going to touch the football 4 or 5 times. I don't care if they put 22 dudes on the defensive side of the ball and they play all kind of different. Nico's getting them. The problem is that – every effort to get him the ball is some double move or some go route or some route that has to be ran completely across the field. There's nothing easy. There's nothing for sure. And that's on the offensive coordinator. There should be some kind of trigger in this offense, Ron, where the second that C.J. Stroud comes to the line of scrimmage and there's a soft corner on Nico Collins, he should be able to catch a snap and flip it to him right now. Like, that should be in this offense. That's football 101. We had the most basic, simple, stupid offense in the world at Arkansas. And I had the ability to do that with my number one receiver. If you don't have that right now, if you don't have the ability to do that right now, you're not using Nico Collins to his strengths the way that you told us for the last 2 months that you were going to. Like, it's not that difficult to get a guy touches.
Yeah, one of his strengths is just yards after the catch because he is so difficult to get on the ground. And we've seen one screen this year to him, and he was difficult to get on the ground in the one screen. And say what you say about the last couple of years, that was an effective play for the Texans, and their offense last year was getting him the ball immediately on screens, and him getting upfield and breaking tackles. So it's just not an excuse. I'm sorry, man. They had a guy catch as many balls as Nico has targets last week. They can, and he can get 8 catches. 8. Hell, I know he's not Jamar Chase, but damn, he can get 8, 7, something like that. All right, coming up, last Friday we talked about if they lose, are they in trouble? We'll see where we are right now. We now see more about the division and where the Texans are in the division and how important this game coming up is on Sunday. We'll do that coming up next.